B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What up? Happy Friday. Hi, Zoe. How we doing?
I'm doing great, considering.
It's Friday, everybody.
I get excited about Fridays. You know me. I love Friday. Friday, yes. Friday, Friday. I actually get excited Thursdays because it's the day before Friday, which gets me looking forward to Friday. Not me. Weekend. Not that anything's going to change tomorrow or Sunday.
It's all right. Everyone pat yourself on the back. You made it through another week of this.
Job, Zoe. All
right. No, not you.
You just said everybody.
The people with real jobs.
We have real jobs.
Not us.
Dude, we're like, we get that pass. Like, if we wanted to go to work, like, we couldn't even get pulled over because we're essential employees.
Oh, yeah, that's who you want to have.
Yeah, lucky us. Go in, go into the fray.
Right.
First ones into the fire.
Yeah. All right. We got a lot to get to today. A lot of different things to get to, including what may be the first plan to get back to sports that I actually like.
The first realistic one, which doesn't include, you know, palm trees and boats and go out into the middle of the ocean.
Unfortunate part of it, that it does not include a cruise ship.
Yeah.
There's no cruise ship as part of this. But it does involve finishing the NBA season, which is totally a plus. And that would be, I think, first from Kevin Mannix. I'm not sure who broke this, but he writes on SI.com that Las Vegas is a
his place. Nephew. Real quick, Chris Mannix, his nephew, right?
What?
Not Kevin. You said Kevin.
Did I say Kevin Mannix?
Yeah.
No, I did. Chris Mannix.
When him and Rob Hobson got in on this together, right?
Slip of the tongue. Excuse me. Chris Mannix.
Yes.
No, not Kevin Mannix. Chris Mannix.
Yeah, Pat Harlow tried to drive over here and beat his ass again. I was in the locker room that day. He tried to choke Mannix out. It was great.
Chris Mannix, who we love. Chris Mannix wrote that in a vacuum, Vegas makes sense for the NBA. The NBA is exploring the idea of salvaging their season by having the rest of it held in Las Vegas. A CNBC report last week, he writes, theorized the league could play a best-of-five series in the first round and the finals, with a one-and-done-style tournament replacing the two rounds in between.
Ooh.
A league source told SI.com that the NBA was nowhere near close to formalizing anything, but added nothing is off the table. Well, okay then. So the idea of putting it in Vegas, central location for what is already sort of an NBA spot. They have their summer league there, so they have some sort of setup there. They definitely have places to play there, multiple places that I think they could choose from to play in Vegas. Thomas and Mack Center is there right off the strip at UNLV, so that's a potential spot. I think there are plenty of other areas that they could set up courts in Vegas, too, if it wasn't going to be at Thomas and Mack. I mean, you could set it up inside any one of the major hotels on the Strip. They all have space for it.
They sure do. The conference rooms. You could even think about the Raiders' new stadium. I don't know how close to completion that thing is in totality, but I'm sure there's a space in there where they may be able to do
In terms of ready-to-go spots, there's the Grand Garden Arena, there's the Thomas and Mack, there's the T-Mobile Arena. I think those are those three. How many would you need? Could you do
exactly?
What's the name of the one in MGH where they do the boxing?
The boxing one. Yeah.
Which one is that, Hardy?
The Grand Garden Arena.
Yes.
At MGM Grand.
Like, that's an easy one right there because you don't need space for fans. So you just need a place where you can fit the court and have it be, you know, enough space for anyone who has to work there to sort of space out a little bit.
Convention center.
But now you're talking about building a basketball court in a place that is not really designed for that. Oh, the Cox Pavilion was the other one. There are three or four places where they have, you know, sporting events already.
Sure.
And just from sight lines and camera angles and stuff to go into, yeah, you could do it. I mean, you could do it in the Boston, you know, convention center. But just in terms of places that are the closest to being plug and play, those are the three or four that would make sense.
Woj said that Las Vegas has been a destination that has been discussed, built around the idea of literally perhaps using a casino, playing games in a ballroom with courts. So that's what I'm sort of playing off of, that Woj had mentioned that what they may try to do is what logistically you think sounds a little crazy, in that we're going to build courts where we don't typically put courts, but they might do it in a place where they could put six courts in one place and have everyone say, listen, don't leave the building. We're going to do our best to not have people moving in and out of here. We're not putting you on a cruise ship. We're not, you know, going to lock you down, but let's do this for the health of everyone. Let's everyone try and stay in the building. Can we
it's
do
not that?
That?
It's like, not
you
that
never
crazy.
Have to leave a building.
And it's not that crazy of an idea. And like, from a much, much smaller scale, I'm not comparing the two. Like, we used to go to nationals down in Washington, D.C. for the AAU basketball tournaments once a year. And there's like 60 courts inside the convention center down there. And these are wood courts. And it is lit well. And I could see them putting four in there and something like that. And totally being able to do the camera angles and making an exception for it. Now, that's on a much smaller scale, but this type of people are sitting at home thinking, well, how the hell could you throw a court in a ballroom? These things are huge. It can be done. It really can be done.
The other part is that the casinos are currently closed. They're not open.
Yeah, it's not like you have foot traffic.
Yeah, everything's closed there, and they could, if they're going to do it, you know, sometime in the near future, and by near future, I mean, I don't know, June or July, maybe? Then they could potentially say, well, there's nobody here, so we can use the building. We'll pay you. We'll strike a deal with whatever, you know, property they choose and say, hey, we're gonna rent out your whole place if you don't mind.
Right.
Like if you don't mind, we're gonna take it and we're gonna fill up your hotel with our players and our staff and our, you know, maybe multiple couple of hotels, whatever it might be, a couple of places on the strip. But they have tons of options there, Hardy.
This is where I gotta think that the hotels are. If you're talking about July, and again, the column, he says the best answer is for the NBA to play 10 games over a 20-day period. The league wishfully would allow teams to begin practice by July 1st. Giving each team 10 days to work out before traveling to Las Vegas. Okay? Now you're talking middle of July. These casinos have been closed now for going back to last month, going to be closed all throughout April. I don't think they're going to be closed throughout all of May and June. I think they're going to be open for business. And whatever amount of money the NBA has to go to the MGM Grand and say, we want to give you X million of dollars so we can play basketball and have it. The MGM Grand is going to say, all right, we have 5,000 hotel rooms. We have a gaming space that just on the slot machines alone brings in more over the course of a week than you're willing to pay us for a week's worth of games. And that's without filling up. I mean, what are we talking about here? The money that the NBA can offer.
I think you've got too much optimism in you. That's what I think you've got.
Say that the casinos are going to be open after 3 months?
Not that they'll be open after 3 months. They might open after 3 months. I don't know that they're going to have the same volume of customers that they typically have.
I don't know. I think people are going to go nuts once they're cleared.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be an all clear, though, the way maybe you think there is.
Even if there's a slow, gradual normal life.
I don't think that's happening, and I think a lot of people they want to believe that's going to be the case, but I don't think it is, and I don't think they're going to have the volume.
The patterns and the way you live life, we talk about every day, have changed. Like your patterns change.
I think the NBA could pull it off, and they've got the money to do it, Hardy, because they'll make a boatload on salvaging their TV deals in the process.
They can make some money, but you've got a much better chance of getting games at T-Mobile Arena and getting them at the Thomas and Mack Center and having those facilities given over to the NBA than you are saying to Mandalay Bay, hey, just shut down your entire... I know you're open for business, but keep everyone out of the casinos and out of the sports books and out of the restaurants and out of the nightclubs and out of the hotel rooms so we can come in here and play some basketball games. That, to me, is a too big of an ask. The casino is going to have more optimism in terms of what they're able to bring in on a gaming basis. And some of these hotels, they're making, you know, there's a handful of them that make now as much through their shops, dining, nightclubs, and facilities than they do on the casino floor. Wynn and Encore were the first ones to actually surpass revenues from outside casino sources than just the casino. So if you're telling me you got to keep everybody out of these restaurants and hotel rooms and the spas and all that stuff, they're going to tell you to kick rocks.
I think that's the only reason why the NBA is going to consider it, though, because they feel like they're going to be able to do that. Otherwise,
not into July.
Okay, but then what's the point of going to Vegas then? Then this whole plan is stupid then. What's the point? You go to any town. You could pick any city.
Because
Vegas is no different than any other town where you could find three or four venues.
Because you go to a town where if they are still under the belief that this virus doesn't like hot weather, there aren't too many better places than Vegas in July.
Ooh, that is true. But again, that's based in hopes and dreams and not reality as of yet.
Right. And look, it's an interesting concept. And, you know, I think you could look at it as a yes from the owner's perspective. If this is the only way we're going to play games, yes. From a league perspective, this is the only way we're going to play games, yes. From a player perspective, you're going to have to go to Vegas for a period of a few weeks to have a concentrated playoff format. Hell yeah. Most of those guys are going to say yes. But once you get to it logistically, if other things are open, you know, we're talking about the middle of summer now, the middle of the summer. Other things are going to be open by then, and that gets back to your point. Then why do it in Las Vegas? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. My thought is it's a good idea because they have logistically a lot of options.
Yeah.
And I don't think the NBA is going to go to Vegas if everything's open and everything is, you know, where they're staying is open to the public. I don't think they're going to do that. So wherever they stay, it's going to have to be some sort of private setup. And that's not to say they're locking them down or putting them in isolation. It's just that they're going to want a separate place where players can be and stay and not, you know, and limit their outside contact outside of each other.
Right.
Like, you just hope to think go ahead.
No, it could very well be in Vegas and in the summer, but, you know, they're talking about one central location. You know, they're talking about doing it all at T-Mobile Arena. And maybe have them stay in one section of the hotel and the hotel next door, Aria or something like that, whatever it is. But when you get into that and you start talking about it, why there? Why does it have to be Las Vegas? Because it's a neutral site? Yeah, that's part of it. You know, but if there's not going to be fans there, I don't know how much that factors into it. Maybe there will be. If they're trying to get a big cross-section of fans and people are just going to be in town anyway, okay. It does make sense. I don't know who first said Vegas in the summer and what the initial thought was, but this raises more questions than it answers, at least in the articles that I've read about it.
No, and we've covered Super Bowls. We've been lucky enough to cover Super Bowls and do Super Bowl weeks at certain cities, and you see the way they handle those two teams when they're in that game is they are able to sort of shut parts of hotels down to where they're totally sequestered, and you'll never see them. And they bring them to central locations or, you know, down to a ballroom for media access, and you can limit all that stuff. I think there's both ways to look at this thing. I'm a little more with Hardy, and I hope to think that in 3-4 months from now, we're not going to be on total lockdown, that there is going to be an ease of things back into somewhat normal life, and is there the ability to juggle both?
All right, we'll pick this up on the other side. 617-779-0985. You have thoughts on it? The NBA is kicking around the idea of going to Vegas to finish out their season. What do you make of it? We'll talk about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill Withers passed away. That's why we're playing this. Not from COVID-19. 81 years old, he died of other causes.
Jim and I had a disagreement.
Yeah, I know. I disagreed too, so it's a three-way disagreement.
Wow. What, that the Timex Social Club's version was better?
No, what song should you play as and we'll play them all today.
For Bill Withers?
For Bill Withers.
Oh, God, this.
So it's this, Ain't No Sunshine.
That and was what my pick.
Yes.
And Jim Louth wanted Lovely Day.
What the hell's Lovely Day?
You'll hear it later. It's a great song.
Ain't No Sunshine would be second on my list. But, Jim,
yeah,
I think you're on an island with Lovely Day.
It's okay.
I think this one's number one, Ain't No Sunshine 2.
Was it on your wedding playlist?
No.
Lovely Day?
It would have been, though.
Was it from the B movie?
Should have been.
Disney
B
movie?
To himself. How do we not play that at the wedding? That's what he's thinking.
He's probably going to play at the wedding when he passed out. And people were leaning all over each other. Cattle's got all sloppy.
So, quickly, before we get to the calls on this NBA thing, I get what you're saying about how the world won't be on lockdown. I understand that. I agree with that.
I hope.
But if they're trying to put NBA players in a certain section of a hotel where they're kept away from the rest of the general public, then there is no advantage to the NBA going there. There's none. They won't do it. That's not what they're going to go there for. They're going to go there because they can get one of the, you know, largest hotels in the country and shut it down and keep their guys, you know, in a place where they can roam without having to leave, where they can go to the pool, where they can do whatever it is they want to do inside that facility. If they're there with the general public, the NBA is not going to go for that. That's not what they want.
Yeah, I don't know that that is the reason why they're doing it and what exactly they're looking for. You know, I don't know what the capacity is for the MGM Grand, but I mean, the arena itself, right? Which is just a place where, like, one small part of the MGM Grand, of the complex. It's 15,000 permanent seating, 17,000 with bleachers.
Which you don't need.
Okay,
which
you don't need
no
that.
Need for.
But you say like, oh, you just give them the whole hotel. There's 5,000 hotel rooms at the MGM Grand alone. You know, if you want to give them a section, I understand what you're saying, Beetle. But you could give them, you know, a string of high roller villas, right, and their own pool and their own way to get back and forth to the arena and a couple of restaurants and have. I don't think I'm exaggerating, 75% of the rest of the property open to the public.
Sounds nice.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, you could. I just don't think that that's what the NBA wants. Why is Woj talking about taking over ballrooms?
Because that's what you could do there.
I don't think they're obsessed with the arenas. I think they're obsessed with having it all under one roof. That's what I think. That's what I took away from what Woj said.
I don't know why he mentions it either after he mentions Thomas and Mac, the Grand Garden Arena, the Cox Pavilion, and the T-Mobile Arena. Because those are dedicated sports venues.
Well, those are in the Manic story. I don't know that Woj. I mean, did Woj say that too?
No. We're
talking about multiple
Yeah, that was Washburn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone just hears Vegas NBA and starts coming up with their own theories as to, you know, what the protocol would be logistically. Right. Why they're going there, how they would do it. And I think it's a version of what you're talking about. Have all the players living in one place, playing games in one place, as essentially treating it as a big resort in a place that has the capacity to do it. And Las Vegas has a couple of different venues probably that could pull it off that wouldn't have to shut down the rest of their venue in the process.
What about Caesars? Is Caesars big enough?
I don't know.
They've had fights there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That place is huge.
I'm sure there's, I mean, you know, we see when we go there, we see like, you know, portions of it. There's, you know, there's other areas of these hotels and the, you know, the different accommodations that, you know, we never see. You know, you don't even know what's going on. They're massive, these complexes, and there's dozens of them. But to convince one to just like shut down entirely if other places are open for business, for gamblers, that's a tough ask. I don't know if anybody's going to be on board with doing that.
617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls. Dave is in Boston. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? So,
what's up?
First of all, if they have it in Vegas, it must mean that it's safe enough, and Vegas is open. It must mean it's safe enough for the whole country to be open. So they don't have to lock down things. Second of all, if you think, though, that people are actually going to go back to their normal patterns when this is over by July, nobody has any money right now because everyone just got fired. So if you think that's going to happen, it's unlikely. And then finally, all these sports leagues are going to have to take a big haircut. You know, the salary caps are just going to take a hit, and a lot of players are going to make a lot less money.
Yeah, okay. I don't think the salary caps are going to be taking hits in that. I just think that the fact you have unions, you got a collective bargaining agreement. And
wait, the salary caps for next season are not going to be going up at the rate they would have been. Salary caps are going to take a hit going forward.
It's going to be interesting to see which league gets hit the worst, though.
They're based on revenues. So when you lose your revenues, those salary caps are not going to move. They're going to stay put. NHL, that's one where you look at planning for the Bruins. We were talking about that. No, the salary cap will go up a little bit, and yeah, maybe not anymore. Might have fewer dollars to spend on players next year. But as far as right now goes, you know, I don't think anyone's, the haircuts on the leagues, like, I don't know how that has anything to do with whether or not you play in Vegas. Joe's in Long Island. Joe.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Joe.
I'm calling because I've been watching the show, and we're talking about the whole idea of going to Vegas. And I live on Long Island. It's terrible down here with the coronavirus. I actually have the coronavirus. I have a very, I guess you would say, mild case. I have constant, I've been headaches. I finally got rid of the cough, but I've had the coronavirus, I guess, for almost 2 weeks now. I was tested positive on the 24th of March. That being said, I never had a temperature, and I heard some of the sports teams saying that to bring them back, to put them on the court, they'd take the temperature, and that would be their idea that they didn't have the coronavirus, but it's such a contact sport, and if you actually sneeze on your hand, put it on a basketball, pass it to somebody else, you're asking for trouble. I just think it's such a bad idea for the NBA to come back. I think it's a bad idea for most sports, all these sports to come back right away until it is definitely stabilized where it's not coming on any new cases. That was just my thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're talking about, you know, three and a half months ahead. You know, maybe we have a better handle on this thing. That's best case. I mean, you got to plan something.
Yeah,
just to correct what he said, that was what they were talking about when they were still playing games. It's not what they're talking about now. Now they're talking about administering tests, actual swabs, taking test samples, not temperatures.
And under that way of thinking, you don't change anything, especially if there's going to be a resurgence in the fall. You don't do anything in terms of gatherings, places being open, sports teams playing against each other in arenas and stadiums full of people until there's a vaccine. Do you really think that nothing is going to happen in terms of normal daily life for a year or a year and a half? I think they're going to wait for the curve to flatten out, and they're going to start bit by bit getting things back going. And as as Dr. Fauci reiterated again yesterday, they're going to be much, much better equipped in the fall for any resurgence for not only testing, but treatments and, I guess, having a better idea of who needs to be tested and when, having the tests available and doing more isolation so that the spread isn't nearly as big a problem as it is right now.
Spencer is in Georgia today. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, I work in the trucking industry, and you know, I'm not a truck driver. I work in the industry, and I'm driving down 75 right now, and the interstate's full of vehicles and trucks. Our state governor, like 2 days ago, just said, "Oh, I didn't know you could be asymptomatic and not show any signs of it." And so we're going on a lockdown today at 6 p.m., shelter in place. So my point is, the idea of us opening casinos in May, we're not unified as a country. This thing's lasting a long time because
Okay, Spencer, your speakerphone there in the truck, if that's what it is not good. But I would agree with you that your governor in Georgia is brainless. Guy's a moron. Let's get to your calls. More on this coming up after headlines. Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone.
617-779-0985, the phone number for you.
I know what movie Zoe is thinking of right now. Come on, Zoe. Walking down the street. They only had a couple of dates. Went poorly.
Dumb and Dumber.
Notting Hill.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. That's when he's got his hands in his pocket and shirt's unbuttoned down to about button 3.
And I believe the seasons change as he walks through Notting Hill to this song.
The leaves are falling down. Doesn't he take his jacket and put it over his shoulder with his finger?
Yes.
It's one of those songs where a lot of time passes during
the
song.
Yes.
See, you know what? I don't like that song, so I don't like remember it in that moment.
You don't like that song?
No, I like Lean On Me a lot better.
Well, I don't understand that.
I don't know. It's okay. I'm not gonna criticize old man Withers, literally. Yeah.
Rest in peace. Passed away today.
Thank God we didn't talk about his song the other day or something, like we killed him, you know?
No, we did not kill this one.
We could knock musicians off like no other show.
This one had nothing to do with us. Nothing at all.
That's because we haven't had Shaughnessy in. He's the one that kills him. Dr. Death.
Couple of things on coronavirus in general. Tony Baselli, though. What do you think of that?
I had my neighbor text me this morning because he was the one that met up with me down the Super Bowl, and he was out in the courtyard at our hotel, the little boutique hotel we were all staying at, because Baselli got moved there, and this is before he found out he wasn't getting into the Hall of Fame. And Tony Baselli is, you know, sort of around my age, and he's one of the most healthy guys post-playing career-wise that has taken care of himself. And, you know, he just got out of the hospital after almost 3 weeks, and he was playing golf with somebody down in Jacksonville and said he was okay. He didn't have, like, the normal symptoms, but he had the cough and didn't have the fever, but had the aches and pains with it, and he ends up testing positive, gets rushed to the ICU. I know they took the took the X-ray and said, "You're not leaving, man. You're going right upstairs." And it's touch and go with him for a little bit. And it's crazy. That hits home, man.
I think we're getting to a point where everybody's going to start to know people that have it. So we've hit that point. I know at least five people that have. Actually, correct that. Six.
That's amazing.
I know at least. Actually, hold on. Make that seven. Sorry. I know at least seven people that have it. I'm thinking out loud here as we go along. I counted this morning, and now I'm forgetting two people that I also know have it, and I forgot to add them in.
So, I mean, knock on wood, I don't know anybody. Hardy, you?
Three, yes.
Yeah. So we're at the point where you start knowing people. I think everybody at some point is going to know people that have had it.
Of course.
I was just texting with somebody, too, my friend Brian, who was waiting to hear right now. Quarantine, like literally alone in his house of five people, can't leave until he finds out. Still waiting for his results.
Is he local?
He is local, okay. And he works with a group of people. At least eight people in his office have it.
Oh no,
he's waiting.
That's not good.
You know him?
Yeah. That's not good. But yeah, I think we're hitting that point where people are starting to know. Other people that have it, it's not to go back 3-4 weeks. That would seem, you know, that would be a really big deal. And now it's just sort of becoming a part of daily life that there are people close to you. There are people in your community that have it and are getting it. I had to go out yesterday. That was not fun. I went out for the first time in a week. And Zoe, people are not distancing, my man. They're just not doing it.
No, I see it too.
It's insane.
You went to a place that I didn't even know was open.
Yeah, I had a pipe that was leaking, and I was like, oh, of course this happens.
You had to get flex tape then.
No, not flex tape. But so I'm like, I got to fix this because it was the kitchen sink, and it's like this is you can't not have the kitchen sink operational. So I went. I had a pretty good idea where it was in the store. I went to Home Depot's website, confirmed what aisle it was in and what bay it was in. And I was like, oh, I know the aisle, so I know where it is. Literally was in, got the item, got two items in the aisle, walked back to the register. I was in and out in under 3 minutes. It was like lightning fast. There were not that many people in there. But the people who were in there, oh my God, I was having a panic attack looking at them. Like, three guys just huddled up near the door doing, I don't know what those guys were doing. Looked like, you know, contractors that were in there to buy things. I saw two people with their dog, because every idiot brings their dog to the hardware stores. I don't understand that trend. Right? Two guys with their dog talking to someone they knew that they didn't go there with, just chatting it up like 2 feet from each other's face. I'm like, What are these idiots doing?
Yeah, I don't get it. I met a guy a few days ago who was, you know, and I was out walking my dog and said something to the effect of, you know, went to shake hands and I'm like, oh, and he goes, oh, you're one of those people?
Yep, like, I am. I'm one of those people.
What are you talking of? You? Yes. We should all be that one of those people. What are you doing?
Oh, you're not going to touch me right now while this deadly virus is going on?
We're not. You're not
friends
anymore.
I've known you for 15 seconds.
Oh, you pansy. What? Hey, Beetle, you don't want to touch?
Why didn't you use the Home Depot locker system where you order it and you just pick it up in a locker?
Because there was no guarantee that it was going to be ready yesterday, which seems foolish.
Oh.
But it was like, it'll be ready today or tomorrow. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't know the scene.
I don't like that either.
Hardy, you know what I was thinking?
Who knows how those things are clean? You know, I don't.
If they don't have a lot of people working, like, yeah, do they have people going to pick orders?
Maybe not.
And I was like, you know what? I know where it is. I'll just run in, run out, and it would. It crossed my mind.
Yeah, only used that locker thing once. It was awesome, but it was months ago. It wasn't during this when, like you said, staffing is probably way down.
So I just went in, got it, and it was fine. I was in and out. I went to one aisle. It was like you walk in the door, you walk sort of straight to the aisle. I grabbed the two items. I went right back. I got the JB Weld. I got the pipe fixed last night. I'm feeling good. But that trip to the store, that one trip, the one time I've left my house in the last week, I was having a panic attack. I kept like, what are people doing?
See, that's how you get it.
Why'd you automatically dismiss the idea of a little flex tape, a little flex seal on that? You could
Nah, you want to fix right. I'm a beetle on this.
Okay, you want it fixed right, but you can also blow a hole in the bottom of a boat and slap some of that sumbitch and flex seal on it. You can,
I mean,
you can drive that
wrong.
Boat. You drive.
Hardy's not wrong.
Drive the boat.
I don't think.
You know what?
You can drive you a damn doom buggy put together with
the
flex tape.
Here's the thing. Ride around the woods. Shark. Oh, go ahead, Zoe.
You can ride around the woods like Hardy said with the doom buggy.
Yes.
I didn't need to make it shark proof. So that's usually how I figure it out. Do I need to make this shark proof or not? And if I do, then I choose flex tape.
That does make sense then.
Right? Okay. I mean, that's usually the gauge then and the debate I have with myself.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, do I need to be afraid of sharks in this situation? Kitchen sink. No sharks. Okay, don't need that.
You make me
go to that extreme.
You're making me want to go to Home Depot now. Like, I didn't know it was open. Now I know it's open.
Yeah, I think there's stuff I need. I think that was the hope that Beetle had when he told that story was let's get Zoe out of the house more because the one trip a day to the grocery
store
isn't
enough. You know what else was pissing me off in there, Artie? People like looking at paint samples, like, oh, I like this color. Oh, I'm like, what is that necessary right now?
Hey, a lot of time on people's hands. This is time to do stuff, and I'm around the house.
I can see that. I'm gonna sit here and look at the color palette for, you know, a good 10 minutes in the eye. Like, what are you doing? Go home.
Some people can't work and they got to work on their house. This is the time to do it. Free time.
It's just annoying. That's all it is. Like, unless you have something that needs to be fixed, you shouldn't be allowed. Now you're
really looking like for people to get mad at. See, I wouldn't get mad at those people. I'd be more mad at the people, hey, how you doing, or the idiot that brought his dog in. You don't know if the dog's a carrier or not. They said animals can't carry it. Now the damn cat's got it.
I'd be more
mad at those people talking to each other, like face-to-face, instead of the couple that may be with each other just looking at paint samples.
All right, we've got some other items to get to as well. 617-779-0985. We're having a hard time. I'm having a hard time staying on time today. Jim's probably very upset with me. Hardy, is Jim upset with me?
No.
Jim's... We have a very special segment coming up, so I don't want it to get pushed off into the distance, you know?
We do have a... We should...
And I just learned that TV is going to air the video that we have associated with the segment.
Look, awesome. Break right now.
I've never felt worse about something.
Eject!
We talked about it yesterday. It was about the workout last night with Planet Fitness that Julian Edelman hosted. A member of our crew went along with it. You'll see it. You'll hear it. All of it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Music. I need a little jump. I need a little louder. We're here to work out. Teamed up with Planet Fitness, the United We Move campaign. I want you guys to sit back, relax. We're quarantining today. It's a work-in. We're all in the house. It's a crazy time. It's a tough time, but tough times don't last. Tough it will do. Get you ready and already in your sweat. Let's go, guys.
It's from Julian Edelman's workout last night. He did it in partnership with Planet Fitness. He did it online as a way for people who are home to work out with them, and so that happened last night, and it's still online if you want to see it for yourself. You were about to say, Zoe.
Yeah, this little dance bizarre type music here should have been played with what you're going to end up seeing here soon. That's all.
Okay.
the music is going to be played with the video is a little too tough for what you're going to view. Yeah, me and Hardy, little jazzercise music should have been played with this.
Yesterday, T-Bone was put up to the challenge. We challenged T-Bone to take part in the workout. And by the way, you can see the Edelman workout on the Planet Fitness Facebook page, at Planet Fitness. Check them out on Facebook. You can see the actual video. we had Tom take part, which he did, and he had some fun with it.
He had too much fun with it.
Yeah, you can see it now. We've posted it on our social. I just posted it on Twitter. Jim, I assume it's up on our account too, at Zoe and Bertrand on Twitter. It's going up right now. So if you're not on the simulcast side, you can see it for yourself on our social media channels. But should we just play it? I mean, how do we
play the damn thing?
Let's play the damn thing.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Good for radio.
Yeah, maybe we should be narrating this.
Go ahead, Hardy.
All right. Well, Julian Edelman started with some push-ups. T-Bone, wearing a Supzo cutoff T-shirt, is now doing push-ups along with him. Oh, he appears to be in a bedroom with his childhood desk off to his right. Now they're doing some kind of toe-touching thing where Edelman's form is perfect. T-Bone's not so much. Now we're doing crunches.
What's under T-Bone's bed?
A close-up of T-Bone doing crunches. And now slow-mo of T-Bone doing crunches.
Why are Edelman's shorts so tight? It's short.
He's showing off his thighs. T-Bone not wearing any of the requested garments. No weightlifting gloves. No weightlifting belt. No headband.
He should have been in one of those wrestling singlets. You know, like those... Remember Shoot used to wear with Envision Quest?
Yes, yes.
With Matthew Modine?
Now Edelman is doing a drill where he's tossed a football and he does a push-up with one hand on the football and then rolls it over and does a push-up with the other hand on the football between
pretty
his
badass.
Hand and the floor.
That's pretty badass.
And again, Edelman's form on this is outstanding. Morgan, struggling. It shows you. I mean, Morgan's the most muscular, fit guy I know, but compared to a professional athlete like Julian Edelman... It's difficult. It shows that these guys are...
To be fair, I had like a flat football, and I had no one throwing it to me.
Well,
okay, to be fair, your form was not as good as Julian Edelman's. I don't think I'm saying anything derogatory toward you, T-Bone. You're not quite as physically fit as a professional athlete who happens to be a slot receiver in the NFL. I mean...
Why do you have Beatles shorts on?
I disagree.
Why did you not wear either weightlifting gloves, like we had asked, a bow tie with black stretchy pants, or at the very least a headband? Why could you not come through on one of those three requests?
I wore my Canon sweatshirt.
You finally got it?
I did.
You have shorts on that are bigger and longer than the Fab Five wore back in the day when Chris Webber was there.
Where do
you even buy shorts that big?
Something about watching
this
video,
though. Are those and one shorts?
No.
Like and six.
Something about watching this video last night, I felt immediately the need after watching the juxtaposition between you and Edelman back and forth, I felt the need to raise my testosterone levels, and in order to do that, I watched The Birdcage. The Birdcage was a more masculine portrayal of men doing things than I thought what I saw last night.
Did you wear shoes?
No.
Did you have peasant soup for dinner?
It was something else, boy.
Is that really Edelman's fireplace? Like, is that his pad? Like, with the marbleized wall and everything?
It looked like 70s Art Deco or something.
He said he was in California during it, so.
All right.
I thought he was, like, in the lobby of our hotel that we were at in Miami.
Yes.
That's the vibe I got.
Yeah.
I was waiting for someone to come weird lobby. Tiptoeing across the floor in the background. To salt and pepper shoop.
I was waiting for Manny to walk in to see what happened to Tony and Angel. It's like, oh, they've been gone for a while. Maybe you better go upstairs and see if those guys are okay.
Tom's little friend, Agador Spartacus, is hanging out under his bed.
It gave me strange feelings watching that video.
The fact T-Bone embraced it really creeped me out about him. Like, there was no resistance for this.
Why'd it creep you out? It's hilarious. You did a good job with it.
You did a very good job. Horns. It was a nice job editing the video.
I like your shirt.
I was disappointed in the no weightlifting gloves. That's all I wanted in life. And he said
belt.
He lies when he says he doesn't have any. I said, then you take a perfectly good pair of gloves and cut the fingers off and do something for an old friend over here.
Yeah.
You think any of the ladies out there are going to see this and try and hit Tom up for a date, Hardy? What do you think?
I think Tom has more requests for dates than he knows what to do with. He's very selective is his problem.
What's his email work in case women want to make contact with him?
I would say go on, just tweet him. We tagged him in the tweet.
Yeah.
Just slide in his DMs.
That's right. Open up those DMs there, T-Bone. That's
Tom, are you open?
Oh my God.
Are you open for love?
Open up the DMs.
Those DMs are open, yeah.
There's no need to slide. You can just come on in. Door's wide open.
Is there ways you can social distance?
Those with coronavirus need not apply.
But right. There's plexiglass there. I'm not going here. Why is there a drill here?
You got to bring your own PPE.
Or is there a hole in the plexiglass?
And also,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.